Romans chapter 9, if you would tonight, Romans chapter 9. I want to just share what's on my heart. I hope it'll be a help to you, a blessing, encouragement, and also convicting at the same time. All those things rolled up in one. Amen. Romans chapter 9, and we're going to share with you several verses of Scripture, and just want to try to mind the Lord tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to us. Romans chapter number 9, I want you to notice Paul, I was reading through the book of Romans, and I'm praying that the Lord may allow me real soon to start maybe a study through the entire book of Romans. I believe it'd be good, and I've done this with the book of Isaiah. I've done it with the book of Revelation and going through those books verse by verse and doing a study, and it's great to study those precious Word of God. Amen. But it's good for service. Sometimes we started in the book of Proverbs, and I think we got up to about chapter number 19 or 15, 16, somewhere along in there. And it got to be where it was just kind of monotonous. And not saying that the Bible's monotonous, but it was repetition. And just repetition of being smart and having wisdom and not being foolish. And it just repeating itself. So we kind of backed off of that for a little while. Anyway, I'm praying that the Lord maybe will help me to go through the book of Romans. The book of Romans is a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous book. All the books of the Bible are tremendous, but the book of Romans, it really helps when it comes to salvation, to help help people understand, help us to understand as individuals what the Scripture saith. Amen. Dealing with salvation, what the Bible says concerning the church, what the Bible says concerning Israel. There's a lot in our day that try to say that Israel is a part of the church. And the finishing of Israel, God's promise, His covenant to Israel, will be finished with the church. And that's absolutely incorrect. There's been a time out in the dispensation of time. God started, He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, the Messiah, to Israel, to the Jews, amen, to the Jews first, and they rejected Him. He was a stumbling block to them. And so He opened the doors to the Gentiles. And so there's a time out to Israel. In the 69 weeks of Daniel, that's the fulfilling of God's covenant with Israel in the 69 weeks. Then there's a time out. That's the church age. That's where we are, the Gentiles in the church age. And then whenever the church is raptured out, God's done with the Gentiles, He will complete His promise that He gave to Israel. Amen? And so there's a lot of confusion about that in our day. Some people are just really messed up in their thinking, and a lot of false doctrine, a lot of false teaching out there. Romans helps us understand all that. It explains it to us, and it helps us. And Paul does a great job being led of the Holy Spirit, amen, to bring those things out. But I want you to notice with me the Apostle Paul. We know that the Apostle Paul, and everybody knows he was Saul before he became Paul, amen. And that the Apostle Paul, before he was apostle, was a persecutor of the church. And we know that he did what he did because he was being obedient to the law. He wasn't doing it because he was a wicked individual. He was doing it because he knew what the law said. And the law was to be obedient to the Word and to God's laws. And that's what he was doing. If there was any other man, any other person that came on the scene saying that they were God and trying to take away from God, amen, they were to persecute that individual. They was to kill him, amen. So all those that was naming the name of Christ was going against the law. And Paul was doing what he was doing as being obedient unto the Lord. And so we understand that, if we understand that, we get an understanding of the life of Paul. And Paul, once he was converted, began to win people to Christ, the one that he was talking about and telling people, you can't serve him. Now he's accepted him as his Savior. Amen. And he's leading others to come to know Christ. And it's all about Christ. And he says, I forsake everything. I give up everything just to know more about Christ. And then if you think about the Apostle Paul and his life, all the things that he did, it bothered him, the things that he done. And he's mentioned that through Scripture. In Corinthians, he mentions it. In other places in the Bible, he mentions the things he did in the past. And we know that Paul's history bothered him. It bothered him on the inside. It's a mind thing, amen. All the things he did, allowing people to be persecuted, allowing them to be put in prison, and Stephen being stoned, and all the things that took place. And so all that's in his mind, and yet he's going about his day. And he says in the book of Philippians, I believe it is, he says, rejoice forevermore. Amen. Amen. Rejoice and always rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And Paul talks about the joy of the Lord. Amen. And it was a joy to serve the Lord. Now, we think about that for just a moment. Let me borrow your minds for just a moment. And Paul was one that had joy in his heart, and he tells the churches to rejoice. And when you met the Apostle Paul, after he met the Lord, he was a changed individual, and you would meet him, and his character was a man that was excited about going to heaven. Amen. Loved the Lord, wanted to tell the church about the Lord, wanted to tell others about how to be saved and how to know Jesus Christ. And the greatest thing ever happened to him when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Amen. And so Paul's character was, after his salvation, was an individual that was excited, that was full of joy, that was rejoicing. He didn't walk around with his lip dragging the ground all the time like some people do that say they're saved. Amen. And you couldn't tell it by looking at them. There's a lot of people like that. Paul wasn't that type of individual. How do I know that? Because Romans chapter 9 teaches me the type of individual that Paul was. When you come to Romans chapter 9, verse number 1, notice the Bible says, I say the truth in Christ. Paul starts out saying, I'm telling you the truth. But wait a minute, Apostle Paul, we know that you're not going to lie to us, but his character is not going to agree with what he's fixing to say. He was one that was full of joy, that rejoiced, that loved the Lord, that loved the church. Amen. And his character was someone that was always happy. Amen. Had a happy countenance about him. Now he begins to write in Romans, says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now, three times in that chapter, he had to affirm what he was saying. That's because of his character. Amen. He was an excited individual. He loved the Lord. Amen. I can imagine meeting the Apostle Paul on any road after he got saved. He said, let me tell you about what happened to me on the road to Damascus. Amen. Let me tell you about my friend whose name is Jesus. Yeah. I can just imagine that. But he's saying, I have to affirm what I'm telling you because what I'm fixing to say, you're not going to believe that this is true. And he says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, and my conscience also bear witness in the Holy Ghost. Now watch what he says. Amen. He says that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Yes. But wait a minute now. Your character doesn't show us that. As we met the Apostle Paul on the road, we would have a hard time understanding that he has heaviness in his heart. He says, I have continual sorrow in my heart. At the same time, you don't see that about him. And so he has to affirm it three different times. I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying, and my conscience is even bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. They bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. But here's the thing, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now there's a reason for that, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But what's the next verse? Now this, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I'm made out of flesh and bone. Amen. I'm just as human as I can be. Amen. And I'll be honest every time I say anything. I try my best to be honest and never lie. Amen. I lie not. But I don't know that I can say what the Apostle Paul is fixing right to say. I don't know it. I know that I've had continual sorrow, and I have sorrow of heart because there's lost people, there's lost friends, there's lost family. That's what causes sorrow of heart. But watch what Paul says. Verse number 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. You get that? Paul is saying, I could wish myself were accursed. What does that mean? That means that I was not going to heaven, that I did not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would spend my eternity in hell for my brethren. Right. I'm honest with you tonight. I don't know that I can do that. Right. I'm just being as honest as I can be, and y'all just go ahead and say amen because you're right there with me. I don't know that I can say. Matter of fact, I don't think I could not do it. Now I'm just telling you, I could not say I'd rather go to hell and let somebody else go in my place to heaven. I couldn't do it. But Paul says, I have continual heaviness and sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken an effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. What Paul is saying is not everybody in Israel saved. Right. And he says, I would that I could be accursed from Christ. What a burden.
Right.
What a brokenness. What sincerity in the heart of Paul. I could not do that. I'm thankful tonight that my name has not been blotted out of the book of life. I'm glad I know Jesus Christ. Amen. And to say that I couldn't be accursed from Christ so somebody else could be saved, somebody may look down on that and say, preacher, how could you say that? Well, you couldn't say it either.
Right.
You think maybe that's selfishness. No, that's not selfishness. Israel had every opportunity, just as Paul did, to accept Christ as their Savior.
Right.
And if they didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, that's on them, not on Him. Amen. And for my family and your family and our friends and our loved ones that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not selfishness on our part to say, I wouldn't die for them. I wouldn't trade places with them. That's not selfishness on our part. It's rebellion on their part.
Right.
It's entered into the heart of every man, boy, and girl that's ever been born. There is a Creator.
Right.
There is a higher power. There is a God, and everybody knows within their heart, according to the Word of God, that there is a God.
Amen.
Amen. And they can accept that God or reject that God.
Right.
Now, watch this. Paul says, go with me, chapter number 10. Chapter number 10, verse number 1. Jump over there real quick and look at this. Paul says, brethren, speaking to the saved, that's speaking to the church, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But what a desire. That heart's desire is a great desire. It's from the heart. Amen. And Paul says, I would that I could be accursed from Christ that my brethren could be saved. My kinsmen, my brethren, my Israelite brethren. Amen. I would that I could be accursed from Christ that they might be saved. And then he comes to chapter 10 and he says, my heart's desire, the great desire that I have, is that my brethren, Israel, would be saved. He's so burdened over them that God had chosen, God made a covenant with Israel. Everybody knows that. Amen. You read all through the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Israel. And he tells Israel that the Messiah would come. And the Messiah was the Redeemer of mankind from all sin, redeemed them from their sins. And the Messiah would come. And the Messiah would come out of Israel. It come out of the Jews, amen, to the lineage of them. They were God's chosen people. And when he came, they rejected Him. You know why Israel rejected the Redeemer? You know why they rejected the Messiah? They was looking for someone to come on as king, as conqueror, as warrior, to lead them and to take out their enemies and to put them on the map, if you would. But Christ didn't come that way. Christ didn't come to live and to reign. Christ came to die and to save. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. When He comes the second time now, He's coming in power and great glory. Amen. Then He's going to set the record straight. Amen. And He's going to overcome evil and do away with all the wickedness of the world. But He didn't come the first time for that. That's why Israel rejected Him, because He didn't come in as powerful king, but He came in as a lowly servant to die for the sins of many, for the sins of the whole world. And Paul says, It breaks my heart that the Messiah came through the lineage of my people that was promised to my people. Before the Gentile door was ever opened, it was the door open to the Jews.
Right.
And Paul said they missed that. They didn't get that. And my heart's desire is they would come to know Christ and be saved. They had rejected the Word of God. We find in Paul's desire that it was, of course, a shared desire. God's not willing that any should perish. Amen? Not only did Paul desire that those folks would be saved, that Israel would be saved, that his brethren would be saved, but God also, amen, that shared that same desire.
Right.
That's why he sent a Redeemer. Amen? But not only is it shared by God or by the sovereign, but it's also shared by the saints of God. Well, Abraham, Moses, Daniel, and all those desired to see God forgive the people of their sins. You read all through the Old Testament and the minor prophets, and all of them was that God would forgive them of their sins, and that they would believe in the work of God. It's amazing, amen. Go with me real quickly to chapter 11. Chapter 11. We're finding the Apostle Paul, as he begins to write these things, he has a deep burden for those souls that are lost. And he begins to talk about Israel again in chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? Because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, because they rejected the Messiah, has God rejected them? Has he cast them away? And Paul says in chapter 11, he answers that question, God forbid. God don't make promises and not keep them. Whoop.
Amen.
Hey man, God don't make promises and not keep them. He says, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What you not to what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am alone. And I am left alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. And I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, watch this, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Everything has to happen for a reason. Amen?
Right.
Nothing took God by surprise. But because Israel rejected the Messiah, the door was open to the Gentiles.
Right.
And the door was open to us as Gentiles, amen, that we too might be saved.
Amen.
To provoke Israel to jealousy. Amen. To make them jealous because what God's doing for the church age. Amen. And listen, God is not done with Israel. God right now has got the time out, if you would, in the timeline. And he's dealing with the church. And he says of the church, not to Israel, but to the church. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
That's a promise to the church. Now, if God made a promise, I'm about to preach, amen. If God made a promise to Israel and told them that he was not finished with them and he gave a covenant to them, then he's going to keep that promise, amen. Paul has written it down by the blessed Holy Spirit, gave him inspiration to pen these words that God is not done with Israel. And if we know that to be true, then the fact that Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, we know that's true. Amen.
Amen.
Why in the world did we walk around with our lips dragging the ground and no joy, no excitement? Look like we've been beat to death by the devil, and most of us have. But why do we look like that? The Apostle Paul, when he met him, you could not tell that he was covered with sorrow and misery because of the lost. He had to affirm it three different times. I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. God be my witness. I have great sorrow, continual sorrow, great heaviness because of the lost. You and I should have that great sorrow, amen, and continual sorrow and heaviness about us because they're lost people all around us. But we should not look like we're having a bad day every day. Amen. There ought to be a difference about us. Our countenance is supposed to change once we accept Christ as our Savior. All right? Now let me help you just a little bit. There's joy in our hearts, and there should be joy expressed on our face. If we study the Scripture, Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, the Bible there says that God is angry with the wicked. Y'all believe that? God is angry with the wicked. Amen. He's not happy with them. He's angry with them. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We find that there's joy. There was joy in the Lord on that day. All right? Stay with me. So now we find that God is angry and God has joy. Now He's got two different things going on, two different emotions going on at the same time. Wow, how about that? I wonder how many people can do that in this day and time, have more than one emotion at the same time. Not very many anymore, don't seem like. But according to Scripture, Luke chapter 15, verse number 10, the Bible says there was joy in heaven, amen, when one sinner that got saved. There was rejoicing. God was rejoicing. There was joy. But He's also angry at the wicked. All these emotions going on at the same time. And Paul says, as he begins to write about those that are lost at Rome and at Israel, telling those at Rome, as he's talking about Israel, that there's all these emotions going on at the same time. And we find that in our day, there's so many people that they say that they're saved, but they don't live their life like saved individuals. And we wonder why nobody wants to have anything to do with the church. Why nobody wants to have anything to do with the God that we say that we serve. Amen. When most of us are dragging our lips behind us when we're walking. Amen. Woe is me. Listen, we got something to shout about. Amen. We got something to be excited about. Well, I know every day is not a day you want to shout. Sometimes you don't feel like shouting. If you got a cold, you don't feel like shouting. If you got pneumonia, you can't shout. But listen, they should be a happy countenance. About people should want to be around you. There's some people I don't want to be around because every time you get around them, it's, whoa, it's me, and I got an ingrown toenail, and Lord help, and everything else is going on.
Amen.
And you just don't want to be around those kinds of people. The Bible teaches us, and we use the Apostle Paul, and I'm using him as an example. Of course, God also as our example because we're made in His image. Amen?
Right.
We're to be created in His image, and we're to act like Him and put off the emotions like He does. We're to be excited about serving the Lord. But at the same time, we should be broken over those that are lost.
Right.
We should have something in us that people can see and want what we have without having to say a word. They should see Christ in us. He should be visible in us. Whenever you met the Apostle Paul, he had to explain to you. He had to affirm three different times that I'm telling you, this is on my heart. This is how I feel on the inside. You wouldn't have believed that if you just met him. Many times we're just the opposite. We don't have any excitement. We don't have any desire to do anything that's good. It's woe is me all the time. And it ought not be that way. We should be able, as believers, to have more than one emotion going on at the same time. Amen? You should be able to have sorrow in your heart and joy on your face. Amen? That your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Amen? It's not been blotted out. Amen? We're going to heaven. Jesus is coming. Amen? There's lots of things to rejoice about, but at the same time, we're broken because our family and our friends are lost. I said all that to say this. I was studying through the book of Romans, and I had a conversation with a man today that really sparked this, and I felt like I needed to just say this tonight. And if it don't help y'all, it's okay. It's helping me. Amen. I talked to a man today, and he's talking about church. And he said, preacher, he said, I'm just going to be honest. When I've been praying for this man for 10 years, and I'm not done yet. I still have sorrow, great sorrow and heaviness for this individual. I believe, I know that whenever God looked down and saw the Apostle Paul and all the things that he was doing, and his firmness in what he believed, I believe that God said if I could get him saved, boy, he'd be a trooper, amen? He'd be one that I could really use. I believe this individual could be the very same way. I don't know that he could ever preach. I think he's already disqualified himself for that. But I believe he could be greatly used by God with his testimony because all the things he's been through. And we were talking today, and he said, preacher, he said, the reason I don't go to church is because I'll sit there beside somebody, and I know a lot of people. And he said, I'll probably know somebody that I'm sitting beside of, and they'll be singing, oh, how I love Jesus. And he said, I know what kind of person they are. And he said, they'll be singing that, and on Monday they'll be telling dirty jokes and cutting people off and robbing people and stealing from people and just doing all kinds of wicked deeds, but yet they say they love the Lord. He said, I have a real problem with that. I looked at him and smiled. I said, I do too. I said, let me tell you a little something about this situation that you're talking about. I said, whenever this thing is all finished, when it's all said and done, if what I believe is true, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make it in.
Right. Yeah.
And he looks at me and he says, it's kind of odd that you would say that, preacher. He said, why would you say if this thing is true? Don't you believe that this thing is true? I said, I absolutely do believe this is true. But you've asked me before in the past, what happens whenever this thing is over with and this that I believe is not true? I said, so I just interjected that because I knew you was going to throw that out there. He said, no, preacher. He said, I know you long enough now that I know that what you believe is true. Yeah. I said, I do believe it's true. And I said, here's the thing. I said, those that say that they're saved, I said, they're not. A lot of those are not going to make it in. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what we believe.
Right.
Amen. And a lot of people are trying to work their way in. They're trying to do good deeds and things like that to get in. And they can do those good deeds on Sundays, but they can't do them Monday through Saturday.
Right.
And we find there's a lot of that going on in our churches today. And I don't want Midway Baptist Church to ever be guilty of such a thing. I want us to understand the Scripture, know what God expects out of us, and that we be so full of God that every time somebody gets around us, they can tell you, boy, that's a godly individual. That's one of God's children. You can tell it by the way they act, by the way they do, the things they say. There's just something about them that makes me want to be at church.
Amen.
Makes me want to be around them.
Yeah.
I walked into church one time, and I'm not bragging on my flesh or myself. I walked into church one time, dropped in on a service up in Virginia, and I just walked in, had the girls home, and I walked in, and the girls all walked in. They went up toward the front. I was a little late coming in. I had to grab my Bible and lock up everything. And I was coming in, and I come around the corner, and I just, you know, I'm just myself. I don't try to be anything except myself. And I was praying on my way in because I didn't know what I was going to get into. Didn't know this pastor, didn't know this church. It was a Baptist church. That's all I knew. And so I was praying on my way in. And I come around the corner and just minding my own business, come on up to sit down in a seat where the pastor said, we'd like to ask this preacher if he would pray for us. And I'd done been praying all the way up the road. I was warmed up. Amen. And so I just went to praying and asking God to help the service, bless everything that's done. And I don't know what all I said. I was just talking to the Lord. Me and him have a conversation all the time. Amen. And whenever I got done, he said, preacher, I just believe it'd be the will of God if you'd preach. And I said, well, I mean, if that's what you want me to do, I mean, I'll be glad to. And he tells his congregation, he said, whenever he rounded the corner, he said, I could tell he'd been meeting with God. He said, there was a glow about his face.
Amen.
And listen, God put us there in that meeting. I'm just telling you, this is how God works. God put us there in that meeting. There was a couple, a husband and wife, that had been at each other's throat, ready to divorce. And that pastor had worked and worked and counseled and did everything that he could trying to keep them together. God gave me the message that night on the home, on the husband and the wife and on the home. And I preached my heart out, and both of them was on the altar, weeping bitterly and doing business with God. And then they wanted to meet with me and my wife after the service was over with. God done something in their heart. Amen. Listen, it's not about us. It's about showing forth Christ that's in us. Amen. I had no idea what God was going to do. I had no idea what was going on in that service. I didn't even know if they was going to preach it straight or if they was going to handle snakes. I mean, I didn't have a clue. I was praying there'd be no snake handling. Amen. But God had it all worked out, and God had it all planned. And whenever He saw me, there was something about me. There was that aura, I guess you could say. I don't really like to use that, but there was the Spirit of God, amen, that was just dripping. And He says, hey, God said, let you preach. And God used the message, amen, to help some people. I'm saying every day of our, not just for preachers, but every day of our life, we ought to give off that emotion, amen. We're to give all something, that people want to be with us. They want to be around us. They want to come to our church. Amen. They want to be a part of our church. Hey, them people over there, they worship the Lord. This gentleman told me today as we was talking, he said, I'm going to come to your church. I've been praying and praying and praying. And he's come. He's been here. He walked, did a walkthrough the other week. And he just loved the sanctuary. And he told me, he said, that's a beautiful sanctuary. He said, I'm going to come to you. He said, but I can't come every week. He said, I can't do it. He kind of dropped his head and said, preacher, honest, I can't come every week. Now, if we were like most people, we're, oh, bless God, you got to be there every week or you'll not do anything for God. I said, I'll tell you what you do. I said, how about you just come once and I'll be thrilled to death. You just come one time. That's the only thing I ask. Because I've been praying, God, just let him come one time. It don't take one time God to get a hold of him. Amen. It don't take but once. I said, you just come one time, that'd be all right. I said, matter of fact, if you want to come once a month, I mean, I'm fine with that. You just come. Let the Holy Ghost do the rest of it. I didn't tell him that, but that's what I was thinking. Let the Holy Ghost do the rest of it. And I said all that to say this. I'm not bragging on myself at all. Please, don't think that I am. But he saw something in me. And he knows what I believe is real. And he knows it's missing in him. And Paul said, my desire is that Israel be saved.
Right.
And our desire at Midway Baptist Church, it's not about us. It's not about our great abilities. And listen, it's not about our great singing, even though we need to work on our singing. Amen? We all need to work on our... It's not... But it's not about... If we excelled and was the greatest choir in the world, if we excelled above the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, if we excelled above that, it's not about our singing. Amen. It's not about the way we do anything. It's about the souls of men understanding that there is a hell and they're on their way. And it's up to us to teach them, tell them there is a Messiah. There's a Redeemer. Amen. There's a better way. There's hope. Amen. It's up to us to give that message and act in such a way at church that they want to be there. Act such a way out in the community that they want to be around. Some people that this individual knows that talked to me today said this such and such person and this such and such person, he said, did they come and help you at your church? I said, no, they ain't been there. Well, now they didn't they tell you they was going to come and help you? I said, well, yeah, they told me they was coming, but they ain't. So I said, it's okay. He said, no, it's not, preacher. It's not okay. He said, they lied to the preacher. He said, and they say that they're Christians and they go to church. And he said, and they lied to you. And he said, that I can't deal with that. I just kind of laughed and I thought, well, welcome to my world. But anyway, I told him, I said, listen, don't let that bother you. I said, don't let people bother you. I said, it's not about people. I said, it's about your personal relationship. Amen. I know this is probably all scattered and you're wondering, well, what's his point? I don't know what my point is. But anyway, joy and sorrow run along side by side. You and I can have a heavy burden, great heaviness for the lost, and at the same time be joyful.
Right.
And that joy should rub off. And others should see that joy. They should experience that joy. They should want to be around that joy. Amen? So souls can be saved and lives can be changed. You know where Paul got his hope from? Paul says, my sorrow, my burden, my heaviness, is that my great desire is that Israel will be saved. But he had joy in his heart because he had the Scriptures. He had the promises of the Word of God. And you and I have that same thing. We have the promises of the Word of God that God's going to fulfill His Word. God's going to keep His promises. Amen. I know things look a little dim right now. Things don't look too promising in our world. It looks like that the evil may prevail. But I promise you, based on the Scriptures and the Word of God, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There's been many that said the churches are going to have to shut down. They're going to have to shut their doors. That the world's going to turn on the churches. And the way they think is that Satan's going to rule and reign. That's not happening because the church is still here. Amen? The church is not going to be taken, overtaken by evil, by wickedness. We will prevail because that's the promise of God. And our responsibility is not to be so concerned about all the wickedness and all the downplaying that's going on of the church, but be concerned about the souls that are dying and going to hell.
Right.
And that last one walks the aisle. That last one believes. Amen. Makes up the bride of Christ. Honey, we're out of here. Amen.
Amen.
And we need to be focused on that. Let Midway Baptist Church have a deeper burden for the lost. Have that continual sorrow that their souls in this community, their souls in our homes and our families and right around the church that's lost and on their way to a devil's hell. And if Jesus were to come today, they would die and spend all eternity in hell.
Right.
That ought to break us. That ought to burden us. Amen. That ought to make us want to just lay down at night and just weep ourselves to sleep. But at the same time, we've got joy in our heart that Jesus is coming. Amen. To rapture us out. Don't lose that burden. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Don't lose that burden. You can have those same emotions. You can have gladness and sadness at the same time. Amen. Let's pray that God will help us see souls saved and lives changed to be burdened over the lost. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Invite them to church. Amen. See what God... Let the Holy Ghost do the rest of it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for Your many blessings. Thank You for allowing us to be at the house of God. Thank You, Lord, for those...